Hello, my friends, and welcome to Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. My name is Rick Popejoy, and I have the distinct privilege and the wonderful pleasure of serving as your host today as we have arrived on this wonderful God-blessed day. We're thankful for all of our many Bible students that join us, and we know that many of them will be joining us in the chat window here in just a minute. And while they are arriving, I would like to take this opportunity to explain to you that Reflections is a study hall. It is a study hall for the brave, for the spiritual-minded Bible student. And what we mean by that is we make absolutely no apology for what God said, nor do we apologize for the manner in which He said it. We call Bible things by Bible names. We do Bible things in Bible ways. And as such, it means that it would be presumptuous of us to apologize for what God said, or even how He chose to say it. The words that God chose are God's words, and we're going to allow Him to be able to explain Himself. In fact, as many have indicated before me, the Bible is its own best commentator. And as such, we want to welcome you to the program, and we pray that you are poised and prepared to study, to meditate, that's right, to reflect upon the precious book divine. Now, my friends, we have been over the last 11 studies, this is number 12 in the series, but over the last 11, we have been focusing our attention on the phrase or the words, beware and take heed. That sometimes these words are used separately, sometimes they are used together. But at the same time, each of these present for us a warning. Now the warning can be negative in the sense that it is telling us what not to do, or positive in the sense that it is telling us what we should engage in. Either way, we should be warned and to take heed of certain things. Now, we have not exhausted all of the warnings of the Bible in just 12 short lessons, I assure you. But at the same time, I think we have done our dead level best in order to give you some aspects of the Bible's warnings of men and how important it is. You know, when men warn us of things, the warning is accepted, at least the level of intensity is accepted based upon the person who has given the warning. So if someone in great authority who has a magnificent character is the one giving the warning, we have a tendency, do we not, to take that warning with even greater depths of significance. And so if God, in His marvelous character, is warning us, and there is no higher authority, then these warnings are warnings that are essential in nature to Christianity or to the human psyche. And so with that in mind, I want to welcome you to the program. We will get to some things after just a few announcements. I do want to extend this invitation to you that if you're ever in the Nesbitt, Mississippi area, that you come and join us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. We meet at 685 Nesbitt Road every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible study, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We had a wonderful study last night, several visitors coming in for a wedding, and we were blessed with a wonderful study of Jesus as the Lord of glory. But that's for another time down the road. At this time, I just want to give you the invitation to come by and join us at any opportunity that you might possess. Now, if you're listening to us on WJHF 106.9 FM in the Florence, Alabama area, then we want to welcome you to the program on that venue, and we do want to encourage you to go by and see our family and friends at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. Give them a call for their times of services, and I know that they will be glad to assist you, and they will be glad to service you in any way spiritually that they possibly can. The phone number today, as always, is 405-428-2440. Once again, that is 405-428-2440. And what that means, my friends, is that you have an opportunity to call and to comment or to question, offer a question or something about the program today. Now, tomorrow is Friday. And if you're a regular listener, you know that Friday is all about open mic. And what that means, open mic Friday, you get to determine the direction of the program. And so if you would, you have a question or a comment that you would, that's outside the scope of our series of lessons, we would be honored to be able to answer that question. It may be just a simple Bible question, or it may be a very complex Bible question. It may be something that can answered in just a short snippet, or something that may take up the entire program in order to do that. Nevertheless, we welcome your questions and your comments at any given time. So again, that's 405-428-2440. I also want to make note of the fact that if you're listening to us on WJHF or one or some other venue, that you can certainly join us in either one of the chat windows. We have a chat window at thegospelradionetwork.org, TGRN, and it is monitored live. We also have the Facebook Live comments that we monitor as well, and we certainly welcome any of your comments. In fact, on the Facebook side especially, we love for individuals that join us to be able to come in and give us where they are located. And so we always love to know. We have an international Bible study. We have an international study hall, you might say. And so we would certainly be glad to and enjoy to know where you are studying the Bible with us at this time. Well, let's see here. I can't think of any other announcements. No, that is not true. I can think of another announcement. The Standing in the Gap Lectureship that is hosted every year for the last, this will be the 22nd annual Standing in the Gap Lectures hosted here at the Nesbitt Church of Christ will be January the 27th through the 31st. Once again, that's January the 27th through the 31st, 2021. Now you realize, even though we are saying 2021, that's just around the corner. We have things that are really heating up behind the scenes, speakers, topics, people that are calling us to letting us know, or sending us emails and letting us know that they are going to join us that particular week. We would love to know that if you're going to be in the area. We certainly want to be as hospitable as we possibly can. And the best way that we can be hospitable is to know that you are coming. And if you're coming on one evening, or you're coming on for the entire series of lectures. Now, by the way, I would encourage, maybe a little selfish in the encouragement, but I would encourage you to come for the whole thing, Wednesday through Sunday. But I realize if you cannot make it for that, We do not have means at this time for live broadcast, but I do know that we will have them taped, and we'll have them up on our YouTube channel as soon as we possibly can. So once again, we're grateful that you have joined us today, and we hope and pray for a wonderful Bible study. Now, for some reason, I will tell you that normally at this time I have 20 to 25 comments in the chat window, and I have absolutely none at this time. I have many listeners, but no comments, and I don't know if that means that I have done something to cut the comments out. If that is the case, you can go to the TGRN. You can click off the audio if you want to, and comment there. I don't know what I did on Facebook. It looks like everything is still up and working properly, but nevertheless, oddities do not establish problems necessarily. And so what we have now is we're going to have a word of prayer, and after that word of prayer, we'll have our song, what we have classified as our theme song, Walking on Heaven's Road. But let's go to our Father in prayer. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee at this time, we do recognize that in and of and by ourselves we do not belong here, that we have sinned, that we were Thy enemy, and that we were without aid and strength to be able to accomplish a fellowship with Thee because of our sin. But in Thy graciousness, You granted unto humanity a propitiation, a gift, Thy Son Jesus Christ as the Lamb that would take away the sin of this world. We're thankful, our Heavenly Father, as well for Thy wonderful gospel that You gifted to humanity through the Holy Spirit and the inspiration, revelation of Thy will toward us. We're grateful, our Heavenly Father, that You would let us know of Thy wonderful love toward us and the sacrifice that Thou hast made, and the sacrifice of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, and His willingness to go to the cross on our behalf. Our Heavenly Father, we're mindful of all of those that it's our duty and responsibility and even privilege to pray for. All of those that are in government, we realize that that we have a government in disarray at this particular time, and we pray, our Heavenly Father, that all things might be put in order, that we might continue to function as a nation, and that our nation might be brought to its knees before Thee in regards to its service. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that all of those individuals that now serve and shall serve in the capacity of government might recognize the wonders of Thy Word. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, also of those individuals that are sick, afflicted, those individuals that have lost loved ones. We pray for brother and sister Obed Rodriguez's family, who both of them passed away recently, and we pray for many individuals that also, brother Schaefer, who lost his wife as well, and we pray that You would strengthen these individuals. We're always grateful, our Heavenly Father, understanding the greatness of heaven itself, and the fact that individuals are able to enter into Thy glory one day, and we pray that we might all be so blessed as to enter into that glory land at the judgment. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for our listeners and our fellow Bible students. We pray that You might strengthen us through this word. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Who's that walking down the road, carrying such a heavy load? Sinner, lay your burden down. You're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road,
Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Ain't no people crying there. Ain't no sadness anywhere. Ain't no need to shed a tear. You're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Young folks walking hand in hand and singing with the angel band. Old folks ain't so tired and worn. They're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Won't you come along
and join me on that heaven's road?
All right, my friends, what a beautiful song and what a great encouragement it is to us to be able to join in that. Again, I think I have made evidently some changes to my Facebook Live, and I made some changes a while ago. Can't remember what they were. I thought I was just changing something else, and ended up evidently changing your ability to make comments today. It says I have 20 comments and 3 shares, but I cannot read them. So my humble apologies on that. I don't know if you're able to read them either. But with that in mind, we're just going to go ahead and continue on. And hopefully y'all are having a great Bible study behind the scenes with our direction, and regardless of that, we are grateful that you are here. And on that, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, if you will turn on the let's see here. Okay, Miss Mona says that everybody else evidently can see them. I am the only one that is excluded from the comments that are directed toward me, and so that's something that is interesting. So we're just going to continue with our Bible study and leave it at that. My humble apologies. If you do want me to see those comments, then if you will go over to thegospelradionetwork.org, click on that big Listen Live button. You can mute the speaker and then go into the login, and there's a discussion window there. That one I have not changed anything on. So Philippians chapter 3. Now, you know, if you've been here before, and you've been here over any length of time, then you know how much I love the book of Philippians. And I could spend the next maybe 18 weeks just on the book of Philippians itself. It is a such a masterful book, so much more so. And I think one of the reasons why I'm intrigued with it is I always hear people say in an introduction of Philippians, it is just a inspired thank you note. Well, I take offense to the word just in the fact that this book is so much more than just a thank you note. And it's certainly a letter that expresses wonderful gratitude for the Philippians and their work in the gospel and their association with the Apostle Paul. There is no doubt about that. But at the same time, it is so much more than that. This is an inspired letter, an inspired epistle that is designed to teach us about our fellowship with God and our fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And there is richness found herein. And again, I don't have time to go into all of the letter or I will get bogged down. So here we come to chapter 3. And Paul begins by saying, finally. He's moving to a section that is going to be able to deal with false philosophies in regards to our fellowship. The gospel is the foundation of our fellowship. And we see in chapter 1 and verse number 5, Paul was grateful for their fellowship in the gospel. Verse number 12, he speaks of the fact that he was engaged in the furtherance of the gospel, even the events that we would normally think would detract from the gospel. These are things that benefited the progress of the gospel because of the way Paul dealt with them. And we should, in our situation today, have that same mentality that what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure that regardless of whatever challenge is facing me, that I'm going to push that to be toward the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I hope that we can do that today. But also, and that's chapter 1 and verse number 12, and chapter 1 and 27, because they had that oneness of mind striving together then for the faith of the gospel was what Paul was encouraging the Philippians to engage in. And all along he tells them that he is set for the defense, 1:7 and 1:8, and the confirmation of the gospel, 1:7. And so everything in chapter 1 revolving around the gospel, but there are some things that will take you away from the gospel. Now, one of those things he mentions in chapter 2 is our own things such as grumbling and disputing, not having the proper mindset. But in chapter 3, there are individuals out there that deliberately want to destroy our faith. They have crept in unawares. Jude, verse 4, says they have come in as bandits underneath the scope. The book of Galatians, chapter 2, would talk about. But here he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing unto you is not grievous, but indeed it is for your safety. And so you might have heard me talk about this kind of warning before, that we should beware of the dogs. We should beware of the concision, right? We should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, this is an important aspect. We should remember that not all men have our best interest at their heart. Now, God always has our best interest. A Christian should always have his best interest in regards to his brothers and sisters in Christ. We should all, but not all men do. And so we have to beware of them, right? And so in verse number 2, he says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. And there are three things that we ought to beware of at this particular point. And he begins with dogs. Dogs are, when they run in a pack, when they are wild dogs, they are very vicious indeed. And we're going to talk a little bit about the wild dogs and the vicious dogs that Scripture talks about. But I want you to notice in the context first of Philippians chapter 3 that he is dealing with individuals that are false teachers. You go down to verse number 16, for example, and you have individuals that he says, nevertheless, whereunto we already obtain, let us walk by the same rule and mind the same things. Those individuals that are not walking by the same rule, those individuals who are not minding the same thing, they don't have the same mindset, and they're not teaching the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, brethren, be followers of me and mark them which walk even so as you have us an example. You pay attention. You make note of those individuals who are doing right. Those are a blessing to your life. Don't ever, listen, in the midst of all of the wickedness, don't ever lose sight of those who are doing the right thing for you and the right thing in regards to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't ever lose sight of that. It is easy. We'll all admit, right, that it's certainly easy for us to lose sight of the fact that there is goodness in this world, that there is beauty in this world, that there is loveliness in this world, that there are people who love and care about one another, and they love and care about the things of this world. That still doesn't mean that we ought to just put blinders on. We ought to beware and take heed of those who do not. One does not negate the other. You know, there are some individuals that are so positive in their outlook, they can't see any negative thing in the world. And then there are some people that are so negative about everything that they can't see any good in this world. That's not the child of God. We're individuals who can see things or should be able to see things from God's perspective at this particular time. So notice here, he goes on to say, here's the reason why you ought to take note of those who are doing right. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul tells you, there are enemies out there. Can you imagine people that would be enemies of the cross? The cross represents submission to divine will. The cross represents the vicarious, vicious, victorious sacrifice of the Son of God. Someone who was willing to endure such great conflict of sinners against himself, for not his own benefit, for others. The true definition of selfless service, of agape love, is demonstrated in the cross, and yet there are people that are enemies of that, whose end, he says, verse number 19, is destruction, whose God is their belly. Now he gets to the heart of the matter, does he not? Why are they enemy? Why would someone ever be an enemy of the cross? Why would someone ever be a person who walked contrary, and he describes it, their God is their belly. Now, by God is their belly, he's simply saying that their guide is their own selfishness. You think about 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 17, and specifically there he talks about the lust of the flesh, that is that which makes me feel good, the God of my belly. The lust of the eyes, that which looks good to me, the God of my belly, right? And for some people, their eyes are attached directly to their belly, right? And then there is the pride of life, which is those things that make me look good. Again, the god of their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. See, they don't understand that all of the glorification that they seek for themselves is not making them more magnificent or glorious. It is actually detracting and deterring for their detracting from their glory and deterring them from reaching the heights of glory. You see, God has a very simple principle. It's one of the great foundations of His character. You might call it His MO, His modus operandi, and that is that God exalts the humble and He humbles the exalted. Now, you find an example of that in relationship to Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 2. He humbled Himself, and therefore it says, notice with me in verse number 9, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name." Jesus humbled Himself, and God exalted Him. The same is true with reference to you and I, my friends. So we should seek to be humble individuals. That ought to be our modus operandi. Is that not what that same mind, that one mind, that like-mindedness that the book of Philippians is all about? Let me just show you that real quick. Because a false teacher, a dog, is not someone who is concerned about that. He is a vicious, selfish creature. And we'll talk about that in just a minute, but I want you to be able to see this in the context of the letter itself. So he says in Philippians chapter 2, "Fulfill you my joy," verse number 2, "that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done of strife or vain glory." Glory ain't the same thing as vain glory, by the way. So he says, "but in lowliness of mind." You want to know what that like-mindedness is? You want to know what that one mind ought to be? Lowliness of mind. What does that mean? That means we esteem each other better than ourselves. Not equal to, but better than ourselves. It says, "look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others." Are you concerned with only your own things? Or are you concerned about the welfare, the things of others? So he says, "let this mind," what mind? Lowliness of mind, right? "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The mindset that allowed Jesus to preach the truth and live the truth while he was here upon the earth. The mindset that allowed him to come in the flesh in the first place. The mindset that drove him to the cross was the mindset of lowliness. So here we have individuals whose God is their belly. The end is destruction, but whose God is their belly, whose glory is actually to their shame. Why? Because they mind earthly things. Paul would call this carnal mindedness in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and following. Now, with that in mind, I want to go back to verse number 2, where he reminds us to beware of the dogs. Beware of the dogs. Well, What are we talking about when we talk about them dogs, you see? What is it that Paul has in mind? What kind of dog? He's not talking about that little pet puppy that sits in your lap, or that protection dog that's out on the front porch or in the front yard that's a good, obedient servant of the family. That's not what we're talking about here. So I want to draw your attention to Isaiah chapter 56 and verse number 10. Isaiah 56 and verse number 10. And in this passage, what we're going to be able to see is one of the dogs that we ought to beware of is a lazy dog. Now, in Isaiah 56 and verse number 10, here is what the writer of Isaiah says. He says, "His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant." That is, they have no idea what's going on around them. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. They are dumb, lazy dogs. Now, you've probably seen or maybe even had a dog like this, a dog that really couldn't learn any tricks, a dog that really couldn't learn much at all, didn't do much at all, didn't keep any of the critters away, never barked with regards to anything in warning you that someone was coming. Now, I am told that Chris makes this comment in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1, "Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God." Purifying ourselves, right? That's what he's, how can we teach others or influence our children if we don't work on ourselves or let God within us? It's excellent comment. I appreciate that, Brother McReynolds. And but that's a lazy person will never be able to accomplish that, right? A lazy person can't see. He does have blinders on. He is an individual that is not really interested in anything that is going on around him. And so here he is described as dumb. They don't bark. They don't give warning as they should. A watchman, right? Ezekiel 33, a watchman is designed to give notification to the city when the army arrives. In fact, because he talks about them here, let's just go over there and spend a little time in that context of the watchman. And notice what he says here let me see if I can, well, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 3 in regards to that, I believe, is where I want to be instead of 33. But notice what he says here in regards to this. Verse number 17 beginning. He says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." That's what a watchman is to do. But these watchmen, they're blind. Well, what good? Can you imagine putting a blind man up on a wall and saying, "Listen, when you see the enemy coming, give us warning." Hello, I'm blind. That means that I cannot see the enemy coming. You don't put a blind man up on a wall. You don't give a man a responsibility that he cannot engage in. And so he says, when you see them coming, you give warning for me. Notice what he says there. Verse number 18, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not a warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life." I just want you to notice a couple of things here. First of all, number one, any kind of warning is not designed in the large scheme of things. It is not designed for damnation. It is not designed for condemnation. A warning that people are engaging in wickedness is not designed to just say that is the most wickedest behavior that I've ever seen. No, the design of it is for their salvation. else you wouldn't be a watchman on the wall. A watchman on the wall is concerned about the people in the city. These are his people. These are his neighbors, and he's concerned about them. And if you want to ask the question, who is my neighbor, I would ask that you ask Jesus that, because he's well equipped and has answered that question already. But I want you to notice here that if we do not give warning that they will die, but when they die, notice this, the Bible clearly says that his blood will I require at thine hand. Now, they will still die in their sins in the eternal scheme of things. They will still spend eternity in hell. But there is a responsibility that you will take with you to the judgment. Now, if we could take this in our daily lives and understand that, listen, we cannot be lazy, not in evangelism. A watchman is an evangelist. You've got to warn people. We got to warn the brethren. We got to warn the church about the dangers that are out there. And so we can't afford to be lazy, dumb dogs that are ignorant of everything going around them. We've got to wake this sleeping giant up, or it will destroy not only eternally those individuals, but it will destroy us as well. We will be held accountable from this. And so Miss Mona relates to me that lazy Christians will never learn obedience to God. They fear suffering anything for the cause of Christ, Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9 from Brother McReynolds. That's an excellent point that Scripture makes for us, and we ought to beware of that kind of laziness. Now, I want you to turn with me for time's sake. I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 22, because in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 15, we're going to look at verse number, well, let's look at verse number 15, chapter 22 and verse number 15. Now, in verse number 14, he says, blessed are they that do his commandments. Just the opposite of what we were talking about with that, right? Blessed are they that do his commandments, for they have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, when it comes to the glories of heaven, my friends, you want to be inside the city. But notice, for without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. The kind of dog that we're talking about here is not the house dog. It's not the train dog. It's not the dog that you want inside the city. It is a wild dog. It is a dog that is designed for its own pleasure. It will consume whatever is around him for his own pleasure. Those kind of dogs, the dogs, never enter into that city. You don't want to be described as one of these kinds of dogs. But I want you to turn with me. And by the way, you will notice their end, right? Their end is not a good end. It is a end outside the city. This is a description of those that are going to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But I want to follow that up real quickly with 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 43. Now, you might recognize the context, right? The context is that of David walking out to meet the giant whose name is Goliath. And Goliath is there. He's been challenging the people of God for 40 days. David has come upon the scene. Now, all of David's brothers are there. They've heard that cry, "Come out and meet the Philistine champion." And they all, with one accord, cowered in their boots, we might say, and none went out to meet the giant. Not even Saul went out to meet the giant. Here's a man head and shoulders, but the giant is going to make him look puny. But all of them were puny in their faith. So only David would be able to say, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt or defy the armies of the living God?" Now, notice with me verse number 43. So the giant is there, and it says, "And the Philistine said unto David, I am a dog that cometh to thee with staves." And the Philistine cursed David by his God. By the way, here is a vicious dog. Here is a dog that has come out. If you'll notice, he says, the Philistine said unto David in verse number 44, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field." This is a vicious dog. He's ready to tear David's head off at this particular time. He has absolutely everything but he has indignation for David, absolutely no respect for God or the people of God at this particular time. And so vicious dogs must be met in battle. There are vicious philosophies and vicious things that are out there that are destroying the people of God. We talked a little bit about work in our devotional last night. I wish we had time to spend a little time on that, because there's a viciousness that is going around that is contrary to the will of God in regards to the work ethic. And we may deal with this all next week. I don't know. I haven't made up my mind on this yet. But man has a moral right to work. And there is a vicious philosophy that is going around that says that there are some jobs that are more important than other jobs, in the sense that you may have an essential job, but everybody else can lose their job. My friends, God ordained work in the same, by the way, He ordained work before He ordained marriage. Like I said, I don't want to get into all of this, but there's a philosophy. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse number 5. Here is how a vicious dog ought to be handled. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." But he quickly follows that up and says, make no mistake. He says, "They are mighty through God." For what purpose? "To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." My friends, when you take a man's livelihood away, you need to think very seriously about that. And you better have a divine cause behind that. Because if you don't have a divine cause, then you have caused that man not to be able to feed his family. That is a fundamental right and responsibility of every man. Number two, you've caused him to be worse than an infidel. Because if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. And Paul tells Timothy that they that do not take care of their own are worse than infidels. This is a moral issue. A man has a moral right to work. And there is a viciousness that is going around telling us that some jobs are essential. And by the way, the ones that are marked as essential, they are not divinely authorized as essential, and so we ought to be extremely careful in regards to that. So we have some vicious wild dogs out there, and we have some lazy dogs that are out there. But I want to go to Psalm 59 just for a second, because there are some dogs, they're not lazy, they're not vicious, but boy, do they ever sound vicious. They sound like they're going to rip your head. Kind of like a, you know, chihuahuas are like that. Man, they'll come out snapping at your feet, you know, and just, and you know, you could squash them with a half a pinky. And but yet they have the meanest disposition in regards to that. And but notice with me, Psalm 59, verse number 6, first of all. It says, they return at evening, and they make a noise like a dog, and go around about the city. Now notice verse number 14. And at evening, let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog, and go around about the city. You know, there are some dogs that sound like dogs. You might even get this big German Shepherd coming out there, big bulldog, big pit bulldog coming out there and growling at you, and he's just as sweet as a dog as there is. He barks, and his bark is loud, but he had all that noise is just noise. You know, we had a dog one time that barked at everything. You couldn't tell. There was no warning to his bark, because if the wind moved leaves at night, then he would bark. And listen, as Christians, we can't bark at everything. We can't warn people about things that they really don't need a warning about. If that's all we are, if all that we are the thou shall nots, then we haven't done our job as New Testament Christians, because there are some thou shalts that should go along with that. Getting rid of all the wickedness in your life is not good enough. Obeying Christ, being in Christ, and then adding the beauties of New Testament principles is what life is all about. So there are some noisy dogs that are out there, and they're not doing a good job in this, in regards to that. And I see that Chris has said, I see a lazy man, and then I see their woman pay for everything, do everything. I have to hold back the urge to wake up, to wake the guy up. Yeah, I hear you there, Chris. There's nothing worse than a lazy man who will live off of his wife or other people. Laziness is one of the wickedness that is described in God's word. But I want to turn your attention back to Isaiah chapter 56, because there's another kind of dog that's listed there. Now, we looked at verse number 10 earlier, and we looked at the lazy dog, but now I want to close out by us looking at a greedy dog. In verse number 11, it says, yea, they are greedy dogs. The word there, I understand, is the ideal that they are strong of appetite. Oh, you do have to be careful for your appetite. I've got a hearty appetite. I don't look like this necessarily because it's just in my bones and DNA. I look like this because I got a hearty appetite. This is a fat boy talking to you right now, and I understand that I have a hearty appetite. I love just about everything, and I love things that are bad for me even worse. I love, Miss Mona makes some banana pudding that I could sit and eat the whole big bowl of banana pudding. I got that kind of appetite. But so I have to curve that appetite, right? But now we're talking about spiritual greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They're shepherds. We talked about the watchmen. Here are the shepherds that cannot understand. They don't understand what their job is. They don't understand how their appetites are hurting the New Testament church to look to their own way. And everyone for his own gain and from his own quarter. I wish we had time for Ezekiel 34. We do not. So I want to take you to Acts chapter 20. And I want you to notice the warning that is given to the elders there. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourself and all of the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For this I know, that after my departure shall grievous wolves." Oh, you think dogs are bad? Wait until you meet the wolves, right? "Grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them," or after themselves. My friends, when Paul says, "Beware of the dogs," we ought to understand from a biblical perspective what a dog is. These are dogs that are lazy, that should be avoided. We need to beware of the wild, vicious dogs that will rip you apart. And we need to beware of that noisy dog that just barks at everything. And we definitely need to beware, even within the body of Christ, of the greedy dogs. Don't be a greedy dog. Be concerned about other people. My friends, our time is completely gone today. I want to thank you for joining us here on Reflections upon the Precious Book Divine. God bless and have a wonderful day.